listening to Fox Sports Radio.
First, the story I think that should be discussed so much more, and it's not being discussed. Todd Gurley. Now, Todd Gurley has the biggest contract on the Rams, right? I mean, his contract was even bigger than Donald, right? I think it's in the range, but, and it doesn't matter as much as this is most certainly one of the key players for the Rams. You would make the case, if we were talking Rams key players, Donald, it's going to be Gurley, it's going to be Goff. You agree with that, Fez?
I would have said Gurley, number one, $15 million a year.
Okay. Now, the idea that a Super Bowl team has one of their top players, a player they're paying tens of millions of dollars a year for, inexplicably, it's unknowing how in the heck he's doing what he's doing so poorly, how he's so underperforming compared to not that long ago. So, Fez, we went into the numbers. So the first question is going to be just how much is Gurley underperforming? And the second question is going to be why? And the third question is going to be how in the heck isn't there a clear answer to the why and no one seems to be talking about it? So let's quantify it. Gurley, midseason, Rams are rocking and rolling. How many yards a game was he rushing for?
Gurley was rushing for just under 100 yards on average per game.
Okay, so a typical game against an average defense, the over-under yardage for Gurley?
98
yards. Okay, as good as anyone pretty much in the NFL. Key back. Now, something happened. It seemed obvious at first what it was. Gurley got hurt, was on the injury report, missed some games. And when he did play, didn't rush for near as many yards as he typically would. So, Fez, even entering the playoffs, what was your handicap assessment of Gurley's status?
Oh, I was worried about him. I did not think that he was right. He didn't play week 16 and 17. Frankly, he wasn't the same since that Kansas City game, that 54-51 epic game. And I had major concerns about his health going into the playoffs.
And that makes sense. If you miss some games, you're going to be concerned about his health. But then come playoffs, what did the injury report tell us about Gurley's health?
Said Gurley was fine suddenly.
100%.
Yep.
Because literally probable means, you got a little something. Right? There's doubtful, questionable, probable. They're saying nothing to see here. And how has he done in the playoffs?
Interesting, RJ. The first game, he rushed for 115 yards. He looked good. But C.J. Anderson, just off the couch, just signed with the Rams, had 7 more carries than Gurley. So kind of a misleading data
point. So this is against the Cowboys.
Yes.
Correct? And you're saying, hey, if you just look at the number of yards, looks pretty good. But then the idea that, well, C.J. Anderson's getting more rushes, as you said, just off the couch. Couch potato, we mean, right? So, but then you could say, wait a minute, McVay's so smart. He knew they had the Cowboys. And you could rationalize, Dallas has some fast linebackers. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with all this, but Anderson maybe is going to be more effective. Why put extra rush yards or rush attempts on Gurley's legs? Maybe he's not quite 100%. There was a lot of, but going into the Saints game, there was every reason to be optimistic.
Yes.
Right? Because he's not on the injury report, Gurley, and he just had 100 plus yards. And it looked like it was by choice that he didn't get more carries.
And yes, and the eye test, he looked fast. He looked like he was ready to go.
So if you had dropped in out of the sky, hadn't seen anything this season, but you knew the NFL, you look at Gurley running in that Dallas game, you'd say, wow, one of the best backs in the league.
Yes.
So entering the Saints game, not on the injury report. So in theory, nothing to change that pristine state, that effective state that Gurley was in against the Cowboys. And what happened?
He barely saw the ball. He had 4 rushes for 10 yards, and his the off-the-couch guy, C.J. Anderson, had 16 rushes, and C.J. Anderson was ineffective in the game, and yet Gurley still only got 4 carries.
A game in which they went to overtime, thus it wasn't like, oh, we're holding back. So really what we're saying is an amazing, great season up to a certain point. From there, it looked like it was a physical ailment, and thus he was limited in the games he played. He missed some games. That all makes sense. Entering the playoffs, he was physically 100%. At least that's what was reported. Looked pretty good against the Cowboys, Gurley did. But boy, he didn't carry the ball as much as you might think, but there was some rationale. And then, for reasons unexplained, Gurley looks like, boy, that guy might not make the team next year. Like, if you didn't know that was Gurley, you changed his number, you would have thought, well, he must have just came off the practice squad.
Exactly. He had 2 drops in this game, one of them resulting in an interception that are the sort of drops that get you cut if you are a replacement-level player.
So here's my question. Coast to coast, I'm asking, what the heck is going on? If it's not physical, it's emotional slash mental slash what? It'd be one thing if he carried the ball 28 times for 50 yards and you could say, man, maybe he's tired, maybe he's this, who knows if he has the flu. He didn't even use him. It doesn't make any... Imagine if it were a basketball game and the Lakers were in the playoffs this year and LeBron literally... he plays like 6 minutes in the entire game. Wouldn't that be like all anyone's talking? But he's not on the injury report. Like, that almost seems like incomprehensible, right?
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory here where we get a player of this magnitude, this great, that suddenly is not even being utilized.
I agree. And I think that's a great way to say it. So to me, kind of running down what we wanted to explore here is, one, Gurley is being looked at Vegas style. Let's look at it objectively with skepticism. So we said the average midseason high-performing over-under rush yards for Gurley, 98 yards. Brad, this opened up here in Vegas at 68 yards. And then what happened?
The Sharps last night bet it down to 60.
Under, went down to in the 60 range. So think about it, guys. Typically, Gurley 98. Vegas today saying Gurley 60 for the Super Bowl. Almost a 40% decrease is expected in production. And there's no rational reason for it. I don't know why it's not being discussed, but it's being discussed right here. Straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's talk Pro Bowl. Fez, the amount of action on the under. I mean, how often in a season, if it's not injury-based, if it's not weather-based, and Brad, pull it up there. What was the Fez said 60. I think it was even higher. Up at pregame.com, what was the opener?
64.5.
That's interesting. Boy, you really are the dirtiest player in the game. I mean, if it was 64, it would have been such the better number for my position in our debate. And instead I say, I should trust Fezzik, you know? I mean, look at him. He looks kind of like Opie a little bit. From Mayberry, he's got to be trustworthy. But what I should have remembered for sure.
I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
Right, Fez?
That's true. But
did you know it was 64? It was just an accident.
No,
You know what's funny? You never seem to make those accidents. Like, with bookies will make in a 52-week year, let's say you're settling up with a street guy, they probably make 12 mistakes a year. All 12 are always to your disfavor. They're always against you. How often does the bookie hand you 4,700 when they're supposed to hand you 4,400, Fez?
Well, I wouldn't report any of those.
But how often does it happen? Not often.
Not often.
And how often does it go against you? Oh, wait, you had the underdog in that game? Really?
It's true. All the time when you're checking your games being great, it's amazing how often they misgrade a winner into a loser, those dastardly bookies.
But somehow that's how you are also.
If you overpay me when I play blackjack, no. Just look the other way. I don't want to get the dealer in trouble.
So, Brad, the actual number, it opened at 64, the over-under for the Pro Bowl. And what's the current number?
55.
How often, when you, if it's not a huge injury or weather, do you see an NFL total move 9 points?
Never.
So what does that tell us? Now, up at pregame.com, you can actually see the cash from our sources bet on all the games, and you can see the percentage of cash on each of the teams. Pregame.com, just click the game center. So, Brad, how much money with our sources is bet right now on the Pro Bowl?
Not much, only $11,000.
Wow, that's interesting. So I predict, though, that come Saturday, it's the old, I always tell the joke, I do about a 10 radio hits every week all year, different shows and such. And the week of July 4th, I'm always spending about 6 minutes talking about Nathan's hot dog eating contest, because bettors will bet the biggest event no matter what. My feeling is Saturday, we're going to see
10 times that.
Yeah, we're going to see a ton of action. But boy, the opinion on that under is gigantic. Fez, I know you said entering the year, oh, they're making some changes, all this. But obviously, the odds makers knew that too, and they came in 9 points too high, specifically with the total. What do you think's going on?
I think the odds makers missed a few things. Back in 2015, there were rules changes, including that the game clock runs after incomplete passes. Also, they went ahead and
changed. So this is in the Pro Bowl?
In the Pro Bowl, starting in 2015. So as it turns out, there was a couple other rules changes, but in the last 4 years, the average number of points scored in the Pro Bowl has only been 54 points, and the scoring was closer to 100 prior to 2015.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, I often get kind of judgmentally people saying, wait a minute, you can bet on the Pro Bowl? And then I just look at them, and I blink like three times silently, and I say, you can bet on WrestleMania. All right? So don't be questioning what you can bet on. You can bet on anything with an uncertain outcome if there's enough interest.
Yes, and what's happened with the Pro Bowl is there wasn't very much interest when the game was in Hawaii because it was kind of a joke and an exhibition, and they're thinking about doing away with it. They moved it to Oregon.
I don't think they were ever thinking about doing away with it.
No, there was discussion.
But with who? You and your buddies at the bar?
No, I read about that, but they moved it to Orlando.
A mysterious blog post.
Yeah. And since the last 2 years it's been in Orlando, the average number of points scored the last 2 years in this location, only 40 points.
Oh, so more seriousness on defense.
Yes.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Last segment. That means picks, picks, picks. Jonas resting up for the Super Bowl next week. We're there the entire week. Fox Sports Radio representing. Okay, Fez, you're going to be there, but you've got a pick on the Pro Bowl. Now, let me ask you a question first. Is there a perversity to it? Do you enjoy the idea that there is a perversity to, I'm betting on a game these players don't really care all that much about?
I'd say it's the opposite. It's like betting preseason football. There's better opportunities from games the players don't care about.
I can't lie myself. When I have bets on something that most people would find like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you bet that, I look at it almost as a badge of honor that I'm that degenerate.
Betting
now, I only bet when I think I've got an edge, but if I got an edge, I'll bet on anything.
Yeah, betting on Joey Chestnut when you've got the advantage for the hot dog eating contest, it's a great thing.
All right, so Pro Bowl pick.
Pro Bowl pick, we're going to go under the 55. RJ, I spoke about the rules changing back in 2015, and since then, the average number of points.
So let's recap those then. So the theory is there's been some rules changes. So if you're just looking at it quickly from a distance, you're going to say, oh, look at all the scoring. But recently there's been less. But hey, if you blend it all together, boy, there should be a lot of scoring. You're saying these rules changes are major fundamental differences. What's the major rule change or two?
The number one reason is the clock runs after an incomplete pass.
Say that one more time.
The clock runs after an incomplete pass and after the ball
is
spotted.
See how easy that was?
Yes.
All right. So the clock keeps running.
Yes.
Any other major ones?
Yeah, the defense used to have to play only man-to-man coverage, and now they can do press coverage and they can play cover too.
And how many years has this the new rules been?
4 years.
Okay. And it'll be interesting, what does those 4 years tell us about the total points in the Pro Bowl?
In those 4 years, the average number of points scored, 54 points.
And what's the total here?
55.
Okay, now that's not your value, is it?
Looks razor thin.
But yes.
The value is the weather. 90% chance of rain, could be heavy rain, and 15-mile-an-hour winds. And I think also with the weather like that, the intangible of, hey, these guys are really, really great players. The last thing you want is a key injury that occurs in the Pro Bowl on a sloppy field. I think everyone gets even a little more careful and even more likely that there will be less scoring.
Yeah. So business decisions.
Yes.
Makes sense. All right. Now here's the counter. We're talking to Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Pro Bowl pick. Yes. Under from Fezzik. You're betting it.
I bet it.
You bet it. But that's the question. This baby opened at by objective fact at 64. It's down to 55. I know some pro bettors that will never even take the worst number, even if it's a half point. If anywhere in the world they could have bet the game at any time at a better number, they don't bet it. Because it's so hard to beat the bookie, you can't beat the bookie getting the second number, the third number. You're taking the 18th number. There's been 9 points moved. There's 18 ticks down. That seems so square to me. Make your case.
Yeah, and the case is it's okay to take the 18th number when you feel like it's going to be the 18th.
we should have that as a drop.
When it will be the 18th of 23 numbers, because I think that this total is going to keep on tumbling down. And you know what? I hate that I don't have under 64, but if I play under 55 on a game I expect to close 52.5, there's still value.
And the theory is that if the market closes in the direction of your pick, you're on the right side, because ultimately the market at the end especially is super predictive of what the truth should be.
Correct.
Okay. So, but let's be honest. One last thing about this. It's very rare that any line could be this far off, but the Pro Bowl is such a different animal. If it was a regular season game in the NFL, you wouldn't bet a total even if it's moved 3 points.
Only if there was a blizzard with hype.
Yeah, if there was reason for it to move. So, guys, don't try this at home. Special occasion. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Brad, we've got one of the biggest college basketball games of the year. You've got a pick on it.
I do, and tomorrow, Kansas at Kentucky. I like Kentucky -6. I will bet Kentucky -6. Number one factor for me, Kentucky is playing their best basketball of the season, and I don't think it's just some random occurrence. Makes a lot of sense to me. Why? Kentucky's starting lineup, 3 freshmen, a sophomore, a grad transfer, so it makes perfect sense that it took Kentucky 10 or 12 games to integrate, to start to get used to playing with one another. And this is in Rupp Arena, where they have dominated Kentucky under John Calipari. They've won 94% of the time straight up, and when they're laying 9 or less, like they are in this game, they have covered 60% of the time the last 10 years at home. Take Kentucky -6.
You like it?
Like it.
Dave Esler, another pregame pro, he's talking about a few things in his write-up. Free throw shooting since SEC play started, 76% for Kentucky, a team usually not great with those kind of detail-oriented things. Also, no look ahead. They play Vanderbilt Tuesday. This will be Kentucky's focus. Also, a team that's trending, a young team, a team with key transfer, right?
Yep.
The trend line is towards Kentucky. Esler leans and agrees with you on Kentucky.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.